I've really debated about whether or not to continue the Why series at this point because we're so broken up in the next several weeks. But trying to figure out when to get it started again, if I do stop, then that complicates it as well. Next Sunday night, we planning a fifth Sunday sing, and then the next Sunday night, Stephen Archibald will be here. And then we're back again on regular services for a couple of Sundays, and then we get into camp meetings and travel with all of that. So I decided to go ahead. So we're going to continue Why, part 9. Part 9 and part 10 go together. So tonight I'm going to be basically laying the groundwork for what is to come in part 10. This particular subject that goes or falls under this question of why is in relationship to the Sabbath. And, I've heard quite a bit more emphasis on the Sabbath, the Lord's Day, in recent months. Maybe that got started with Charlie Kirk and his life and then death. And a lot of focus, him writing the book. I have yet to read the book, but it's been read widely. And more people that I've heard have commented, and they're referencing the necessity and the importance of a Sabbath. There's still quite a debate between the Sabbath and the Lord's Day, but hopefully by the time we're finished with these next two parts, we can easily understand where we are as a New Testament church with the Lord's Day. Tonight, we're going to be looking mainly at a whole bunch of Scripture. And I've wondered about how to put some in parentheses and paraphrase. Sometimes when I get to paraphrasing Scripture, it takes me longer to say it than what the Scripture does. So it'd probably be better for me just to read what we have in the way of the Scripture references. But there's a whole lot. We begin in Genesis and Exodus, and we look, I believe, in Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Numbers. There's just a whole lot of things in the Old Testament that are related to this particular subject. Would you bow your head with me for a moment tonight and ask for the Lord's help in our hearts? I pray, Lord, that you would help us this evening as we continue this series of why. This particular subject, as the others have been, can be quite controversial. But I pray that you would enlighten our eyes with what your word tells us. Understand what you have provided for us as a principle and a guideline. I pray for your divine anointing for myself in preaching and speaking. Give me clarity of mind, clarity of speech. And I pray, Lord, that you would also touch each one of us in our hearing and our hearts this evening. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The Sabbath. The Sabbath. You and I were probably raised differently on what was allowed on the Lord's Day. Some of us were raised very, very strict, some not so strict, and then others that I've known of, there wasn't a whole lot of guidelines. They went to church, and after that, the door is open. No pun intended. No reference intended. This evening, I want to look at a number of different aspects of the Scriptures in relationship here to the Sabbath, beginning in Genesis chapter 2, where I believe that God establishes the principle of the Sabbath. He establishes the principle. And I think it's important that we see this, because if we don't see this particular part of it, that it's easy for us then to reinterpret or to water down the things that are yet to be seen in Scripture. But here we find that he establishes the principle. It's not just simply one of the commandments that we find in Exodus, but it's a principle established here in Genesis chapter 2 at the end of creation. Look at it with me in Genesis 2 verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Let me ask you a question that you probably don't have to think too hard to answer. Did God need rest after 6 days of intense creation? I mean, it was pretty intense. From my vantage point, through my lenses, it was tough. Let there be light, and it was light. Let there be a firmament. Let there be a separation between the heavens and the earth. Let there be a division between water and dirt. Man, that just sounds tough. It sounds tough because I can't do it. Did God need to rest at the end of 6 days of work? Probably you're saying, no, he didn't need to rest. Then why did he do this? He did this because he created mankind to need a rest. Now we could go into this as well, looking at all of the various facets of this necessity of rest, and we'll find it even in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, that there is a rest that God gives to the soul. And that's a deep, whole other subject, really. But even when we look at the aspect of the Sabbath rest for the soul and the connection here, we find that God ended his work, he rested, and he is setting up the principle for the Sabbath in reality, as well as setting up the principle of the Sabbath in our spiritual lives. The Sabbath rest of the soul. Ending our labors, our work for our atonement, and resting in the fullness of his atonement. Now, that's not really the subject that I'm looking at and looking for this evening. That's just a side note that God, I believe, instituted in the principle of the Sabbath right here at the end of creation, twofold. We're looking specifically at the physical Sabbath rest that he initiated at the end of creation. Exodus chapter 16, we are told that he calls it a Sabbath. You notice that in Genesis 2, the word Sabbath isn't there. It's just a day of rest, a separation from work ending and rest beginning. Exodus chapter 16, verse 23, and following. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seethe that ye will seethe, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. They laid it up till the morning, as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. You remember what he's talking about here, right? Let me pause for a moment. Remember what he's talking about? Manna was sent from heaven. There were some people that didn't quite believe Moses and God's words through Moses, so they gathered up enough for 2 days or for 3 days, whatever it was. But God said, only gather what you need for this particular day, because tomorrow there'll be more. But some people didn't trust that. They wanted to make sure. And so the next day they get up and it's wormy. It's rotten. It stinks. So that's in the back of their mind. I mean, some people did that. Now, they were rebuked. They were chastised. There was a consequence for that. But now it's coming down to the end of the week, and God is telling Moses to tell them, Saturday, or Friday, technically, gather up 2 days. Well, wait a minute. The last time we gathered up two, it stank and it had worms in it. It was terrible. It was a bad experience. Well, now, this time, I'm telling you to do it, and everything will be fine. Well, there's a whole lesson in that. Because our perceptions, based outside of the will of God, can contaminate our perceptions inside God's will. We have to be looking at things through the lens of God's Word. And this is one of those subjects that we have to see through the lens of God's Word, not through the lens of reinterpretation down through the centuries or societal changes. And so now Moses is saying, eat that today, and then on the Sabbath, you won't find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. So here they are again. Unbelief setting in, looking at it through their own lens. The Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath. Therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day, following, abiding by, listening to the principle that was established in Genesis chapter 2. And God is reaffirming that now with this particular thing that has happened to them in the way of giving them manna. And what a stamp on their mind of the importance and the value of obeying God in this principle. Did you see that? The Israelites should have been taught. God was trying to teach them that this principle that he established at the end of creation was something that he wanted to signify of great importance and value of being obedient. And so it's something for them to follow through with, but we see there's unbelief on both sides of that, getting too much when they shouldn't have and then not enough when they should have. Following God even when we can't see and understand. Then in Exodus chapter 20, he actually gives the commandment. It's different from all the others, isn't it? You probably noticed that. You've probably heard a preacher preach about that at some point in your life. There's a difference here. Thou shalt not and thou shalt is what we normally see in the commandments. But Exodus chapter 20 in verse number 8, he said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Suppose we could read a whole lot into that to try to determine what that is and how different it is, but let's just suffice it to say that there is a difference here within the commands. This is not a thou shalt or a thou shalt not, but there's a significance in the word remember that we are to pay attention to and follow. Remember the Sabbath day. What's so important about the Sabbath day? He said to keep it holy. God sanctified it. You go back into Genesis chapter 2, the passage that I read, he sanctified it. He set it apart. He made it holy. He emphasizes the necessity of keeping it separate and holy in him on the Lord's Day, that we consider the Lord's Day, on the Sabbath here in the Old Testament. 6 days shalt thou labor. He reminds them what had taken place at creation. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. What a point of remembering for the children of Israel, and God establishing for the children of Israel. And in that establishment, he goes back to remind them of the prominence at the end of creation. He hallowed it. He sanctified it. He gives commandment. While it's not a commandment of thou shalt or thou shalt not, it's a commandment that he wants us to remember, to follow through with. You jump on down the ways several chapters into Exodus 31, and we find that there are consequences for breaking the Sabbath. This is a stumbling block to some people, and I want you to be careful that it's not a stumbling block to you. But in the statement of giving consequence for breaking the Sabbath, he is establishing a deeper importance or placing a greater value on remembering the Sabbath day. Let's read it. Exodus 31, verse 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbaths, now he's including other special days, but the Sabbath is a part of it. My Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore. For it is holy, there it is again, it is holy unto you. Every one that defileth it shall surely be put to death. Some people causes them to stumble because they say, I don't know that God of that time of the Old Testament. Well, be careful. Be careful, because God is not a God of mean action or hatred, or trying to lead people down a path and then suddenly cutting them off or being ungracious. He's giving them a great importance and value to this principle of the Sabbath that he wants to be stamped into their mind. He's not interested in any way of following through with the consequence. Now, God being a just God, he will. He will. And if a person defies God, God in his justice, God in his might, sovereignty, he will follow through. And we shouldn't bat an eye. We should not cower. We should not flinch away. Well, God's so unmerciful. God's merciful that he's told us. Shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Here he is reminding them again of the consequence. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord had made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. He's reminding them again of the beginning of this principle, of this command. He's placing great value, importance upon it. He wants people to realize that he made humanity with the necessity to rest, not to work 6 days. I can't help to think about the times when I was working at Kaufman Products. When I read this, when I get to this, I can't help but be reminded of working for what was called a Christian company. And they called me in before they went to 7 days a week because they wanted to help me understand why they needed to go to 7 days. And I warned them. I said, I don't need to bring my Bible with me for you to tell me what it means. God simply said that we need the rest, and you're going to find out that God means it. It's not going to end well. We need that seventh day of rest. Didn't take too many months for it to come to pass. And then there was a whole bunch of employees wanting to ask me if it was because of that, and I said, well, you know, make up your own mind if that's what it is. You say, well, there's a lot of businesses that work 7 days a week now. Well, you know, that's not the, I don't know. I don't have answers for all of that. I just know that this Christian company and me being involved with it, and it just didn't work out. I believe that we need our rest. And if you're using animals to work, I believe they need their rest. Maybe it's even necessary for machines to rest. I don't have machines back then, but there's something significant about the necessity to rest on a seventh day, to separate from everything else. Now, this here passage is Exodus 31. Let's just go four more chapters in Exodus. Now, that doesn't mean that there's a short period of time or a long period of time. But it's just four short chapters down the way. And in Exodus 35, we find that God finds it necessary to give them a refresher course or to realign them with God's word. Realignment was needed. That they needed that refresher course. Exodus 35, verse 1, and Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said unto them, these are the words which the Lord hath commanded that ye should do them. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day there shall be to you an holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whosoever doeth work therein shall be put to death. Ye shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations on the Sabbath day. I don't know what that says to you, but it says to me that being human, that means all of us here, we need refresher courses. We need a realignment from time to time. Why is that? Probably because our tendency is to draw away of our own lust and be enticed, and then when lust conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. See, that's the tendency, humanly speaking. Humanly speaking, we need these refresher courses to bring us back into alignment, and God's giving them that refresher course, that realignment. Exodus chapter 23, or excuse me, Leviticus 23. 6 days, verse number 3, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. He's reminding them again. Leviticus 25, verse number 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. Did you catch that? Now he's including land Sabbaths. land Sabbath? Listen to what he says. When you come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years thou shalt sow thy field, 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard, gather the fruit thereof, but in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. That which groweth of its own accord of thy harvest thou shalt not reap, neither shalt gather the grapes of thy vine undressed, for it is a year of rest unto the Lord, and the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you, for thee and for thy servant, for thy maid, for thy hired servant, for thy stranger that sojourneth with thee, for thy cattle, for the beasts that are in thy land, shall all the increase thereof be meat. Now, I don't have all the answers as to why we don't do that now, but it seems to me, specifically here in the Old Testament, that God was simply adding this to their repertoire of obedience in order to establish further, deeper in their mind, that God was serious about the Sabbath. I don't know when that stopped. If somebody has an answer for that, you can give it to me at some point. But this was something that they were to observe when they came into the land of Canaan, into the promised land. Again, in Numbers chapter 15, he gives the seriousness of the infraction of disobedience. While the children, verse 32 of 15, while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and Aaron and unto the congregation, and they put him in ward because it was not declared what should be done to him. And the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall be surely put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died as the Lord commanded Moses. Serious business to disobey God. Aren't you glad that we're under grace? There's a mercy that is extended to us, that we can have an assurance of salvation, and through faith in Christ, we can have our transgressions or our infractions of disobedience erased, because the wrath of God is against sin is, it's hard. It's hard. Now, I don't want you to get saved necessarily because you're afraid of his wrath. I want you to get saved. I want you to follow Christ because it is a worthy, worthy thing to do. It's a wonderful experience to follow him and to walk with him. But I also want you to understand, I want us to understand that the wrath of God is horrible. It's hard. But he paid the price so that we don't have to bear that wrath. He carried that for us. Deuteronomy chapter 5 is again a need for a reminder. Verse 12, keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore, the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. If we paraphrase that very, very briefly, we do our best not to cause anybody to have to work for us. That's why we don't go to places of business on Sunday. That's why we stay away from those business transactions, because we're not interested in somebody else working for us. There's a lot that we can get into. We are blessed to have electricity tonight. You probably would say you're blessed to have phone access tonight. I'm not sure that we're blessed by it, but you might say we're blessed by it. And those things take some kind of activity on Sundays. Now, how much? I'm not really sure, because there's a whole lot of technology that allows things to operate, at least for periods of time, without the entire force. But we are to do whatever we can to prevent somebody from working, regularly at least, for us. Remember to keep the Sabbath day. Nehemiah. There's even a passage, some of this in Nehemiah, that even talks about it. Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah is just a simple little prophet. Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 31. And if the people of the land bring ware or any victuals on the Sabbath day to sell, that we would not buy it of them on the Sabbath or on the holy day. Now, if we read the verses surrounding that, we're going to read and understand that there were some people that had gotten away. Maybe it was other nations that was bringing things in, but the people of Israel were allowing it, and Nehemiah is saying, this can't happen. This has got to stop. It kind of falls into the category of the subject this morning, lest we forget. We have to make sure that we're telling our children and our grandchildren why we do what we do. Otherwise, it's easy for them to lose the reality, lose the validity, lose the importance of God's commands as they continue to live their lives. We must continue to share. I believe that that's very likely what happened here. People just simply got away from it. As a matter of fact, in one of the Old Testament prophet writings, we hear that they lost the book of God in the temple. Remember that? Have you read that? They lost the book. And when they pulled it out and dusted it off and took it to the king rent his clothes and put dust and ashes on his head, and he repented and said, oh, we have strayed. Nehemiah chapter 13. And in those days, verse number 15, in those days saw I and Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath, and bringing in sheaves and lading asses, as also wine, grapes, and figs, and all manner of burdens which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I testified against them in the day wherein they sold victuals. There dwelt men of Tyre also therein, which brought fish. Tyre is not a part of the Israelite people. They don't have this principle. They don't have this standard, and they're bringing it in. Which brought fish and all manner of ware, and sold on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. This is the children of Israel. This is the Hebrew people that God called his own, that was God was telling them to abide by the Sabbath. So they're bringing it in, and they were buying it. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah and said unto them, what evil thing is this that ye do and profane the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers thus, and did not our God bring all this evil upon us and upon this city? Yet ye bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath. And it came to pass that when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, I commanded that the gates should be shut and charged that they should not be opened until after the Sabbath. Some of my servants, said I, at the gates, that there should no burden be brought in on the Sabbath day. So the merchants and sellers of all kind of ware lodged without Jerusalem once or twice. Then I testified against them and said unto them, why lodge ye about the wall? if you do so again, I will lay hands on you. From that time forth came they no more on the Sabbath, and I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves and that they should come and keep the gates to sanctify the Sabbath day. There it is again, sanctify, set it apart, set it as holy. Then we find in Isaiah chapter 56, blessing for obedience. Verse number 1, thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come and my righteousness to be revealed. Verse number 2, blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and keepeth his hand from doing evil. Just goes on down through there. Let me jump down to verse 7. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. Wow. Blessing. Blessing for obedience. Blessing for observing. Isaiah 58, 1, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression, the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye shall find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the band of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, that thou bring the poor that are cast out of thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh, then shall thy light break forth in the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. Thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Thou shalt call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here am I. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build of old waste places. Thou shalt raise up foundations of many generations. Thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. That's a long stretch of scripture to get to verse 13. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. You probably didn't catch that entire 12-verse stretch, But he says an awful lot in there, prefacing what he says in verse 13. If you realize the Sabbath's importance and obey it. And then in Jeremiah 17, he reminds them again. Take heed to thyself. Bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem. And he carries it on down a few more verses. If ye will not hearken unto me to hallow the Sabbath day. He's mentioning it again here in this passage. Why is he doing this? He's doing this because it's a value. It's something that he set as a principle at the end of creation, and he gave commandment to it as they were gathered around Mount Sinai, and he gave the other nine commandments. He included it in with different wording for us to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. Now there comes over into the New Testament, and we find that he on the Sabbath day, Jesus made it his practice to go into the temple, into the place of worship. It was his common practice. He was not doing away with anything. Straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue, into the place of worship, and he taught. He was carrying it on. Now, there was some argument. I'm not going to try to hide from that. I'm not going to get into it tonight, but there was some argument about it, and he said something about that the Sabbath was not something that they had to scrutinize and starve themselves to death, and it was okay for the disciples to do what they did in eating. But he does not eliminate the importance or the value of the Sabbath day. And then after the resurrection, we find that the disciples gathered on the first day of the week, commemorating and remembering the resurrection of the Lord. That's why we gather on Sundays instead of on Saturday. We have seen the shift. Some people don't like us using this terminology, these phrases. But the shift of the Sabbath, the seventh day Sabbath, to the first day of the week Sabbath, the Lord's Day, carrying it right over, because God set it up as a place or a prominent point in his economy, a prominent and valuable place for him. For all of those that would say, well, there's nothing in the New Testament that signifies the ongoing nature of the Sabbath. Okay? There's nothing in the New Testament that declares otherwise either. Jesus recognized the Sabbath. He found it important to go to the synagogue on the Sabbath. They still observed the travel distance of the Sabbath. Everything that they did, they still followed it. Jesus never once condemned that. So for somebody to say, well, he doesn't reiterate it, Paul doesn't nail it down, well, why does it have to happen that way? God commanded it way back. It's in his economy. It's in his plans and purposes for humanity. You see, when we begin to shift that and we begin to change that, probably the problem is that we have begun to reinterpret Scripture through the newer lens of our culture and our society, rather than looking through the distinct and clear lens of God's Word, Scripture. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It is an integral part of the moral code that was given directly by God, by his voice, by his mouth, established at creation, a principle, a sign, and a commandment for his people to follow through. Why do we observe the Sabbath? What does God say about it? We've read quite a bit about it. Next time we'll go beyond and maybe get into some more explanations. I see that the clock has done me wrong tonight. Let's stand together. Hope you have a good week this week. Enjoying God's blessings. Tell somebody about Jesus. Let them know that it's good to be a Christian and to follow him. Praise God. Praise God. Liberty, would you dismiss us in prayer?